Chaitanyamanovistam Stapitam Jaina Gutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam. A little louder. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram
This evening we're going to speak more about the upcoming Christmas marathon. I'd hoped more devotees would attend, but I guess the word will get around. First of all, I'd like to thank all the devotees for their eagerness to participate in the marathon. Since we gave the class the other day, dropped a bombshell, quite a number of devotees have expressed, you know, great eagerness to go out. They've responded to the call, so to speak. And other devotees as well have volunteered to stay back and do backup work. And of course, many of our devotees will be carrying on essential services. So I wanted to make it clear that Atma Nivedanam means that you participate as much as you can in the area that you can. So I think Bhrigu and the other leaders are very satisfied. There's many essential services that have to go on, but a number of devotees have volunteered to go out nonetheless. And I'm trying to think about what I would speak about tonight, because I've got one classic marathon lecture and I already gave it. I pretty much said everything I feel is necessary for this upcoming marathon. Basically, I've tried to make everyone aware of Śrīdhara Prabhupāda's desires. I think that those of us who were with Śrīdhara Prabhupāda when he was here, of course Prabhupāda's always present in his books, but there is something to be lamented in the disappearance of a great acharya, especially like Śrīdhara Prabhupāda. And I think that those of us who were with Śrīdhara Prabhupāda, the advantage of hearing from senior devotees like that, it's a special opportunity, because advanced devotee means one who has imbibed the spirit of his spiritual master, who has risen to the challenge and has actually imbibed the spirit of his spiritual master. So I know this was very much Śrīdhara Prabhupāda's mood, the preaching mission, and everything that else that Prabhupada started was to support that. In other words, Prabhupada said everything is preaching. But Prabhupada wanted these marathons. Sometimes there's issues that come up. What should we do? It's not so clear. But this is very clear. Prabhupada, he approved of these marathons. And sometimes we talk about the good old days, the marathons of the good old days. But the good old days are as near as our desire to follow these programs of Śrīdhara Prabhupāda. When Prabhupāda was here and these programs were initiated, either by Śrīdhara Prabhupāda or by his senior disciples, Prabhupāda approved of them. So, just like we were speaking this morning, that if someone sacrifices for someone else, he becomes endeared to that person. So Śrīdhara Prabhupāda is very much approachable by following his instructions, and there are many instructions, but I think traditionally at this time of the year, devotees rallied around very spontaneously and very eagerly to get Prabhupada's mercy when he was present in the form of these Christmas marathons. So in the same way, we can also approach Prabhupada through the upcoming marathon. I was reflecting how I received one letter from Śrīdhara Prabhupāda one time, and I was expressing the fact that I was missing Prabhupāda because he'd come to our center, and then I wrote a letter on missing you. So Prabhupāda wrote back, yes, he said, that feeling of separation is very good. He said, to feel separation from the spiritual master. And he said that, he said, I always feel that my Guru Maharaj is watching over and protecting. So this letter, it actually had a very profound effect on me, because I realized that my relationship with Srila Prabhupada was not based only on physical proximity, but that Prabhupada was, his association was there by following his instructions. This was very early in the movement. And then later on, as we know, Prabhupada's final pastimes, he confirmed that, he quoted that maxim, Vani and Vapu, that Vapu means the physical proximity of the spiritual master, and Vani means the order of the spiritual master. So the real worth of the disciple is tested in that separation. That, of course, in the presence of the spiritual master, everyone's fired up and they're on their best behavior. But the real worth of a disciple is tested in separation. That the spiritual that the disciple can carry the instructions of the spiritual master to perfection. That is the idea. That in the physical proximity we're being trained. But Prabhupada said sometimes physical proximity is there, and mostly it's not. You can see the spiritual master once, twice, thrice a year, and after a while this is a temporary world and we could leave at any moment. But the instruction is always there, and Prabhupada said through that instruction one always has the association of his spiritual master. So I would always reflect on this letter from Srila Prabhupada, and it had, when Prabhupada actually left and devotees were speaking, you know, Vani and Vapu, now's the Vani, now we have to take shelter in the Vani, then I could appreciate that Prabhupada had written like that. So sometimes devotees, they lament, oh, they never got to meet Srila Prabhupada. But this is not a very mature realization, because Prabhupada's mercy was present, obviously, when he was here. It is just as much mercy now, and it will be mercy in the years to come, actually for 10,000 years. Prabhupada's mercy will always be there, because Prabhupada is the sustaining life of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It was built on his desire, it is being maintained on his desire, and this movement will similarly be successful because of Srila Prabhupada's desire. We just have to come up to the mark of, you know, desiring to fulfill that desire of Srila Prabhupada as his representatives. One time Srila Prabhupada said that I know how to take over the world in 18 days. He said that. I know how to take over the world in 18 days. He said, but unfortunately you're not ready. Because Prabhupada is working through us. Like I mentioned the other day, he quoted, oh, Lord Ramachandra, he conquered Lanka with monkeys and bears. So I have my monkeys and bears in the forms of my disciples. And so our challenge is to come up to the mark of satisfying Srila Prabhupada's desires. It may take a lifetime, it may take many lifetimes, but until we can actually satisfy Srila Prabhupada's desires, we should think that our life is not successful. And these challenges that Prabhupada has given us are a lifetime of devotional service, and we shouldn't think now that Prabhupada is gone that the challenge doesn't still stand. It is always there, the challenge to follow the regulative principles, to chant 16 rounds, and certainly for a mature devotee to fulfill these programs which Srila Prabhupada started himself. As far back as 1971, Prabhupada said, I'm going to India now, because he was very sick. So he said, I'm going to India now, and I may not come back. That was when he went to Vrindavan too, because he had this heart problem. So I may not come back. He said, but you carry on this Krishna consciousness movement. I've given you everything. This is 1971. I remember 1971. We had a temple on East Forest Street. And I think we had Krishna book and Macmillan Bhagavad Gita. That's all we had. And we had Lord Jagannath. I don't think anyone had Radha Krishna by that time. And some recipes. We didn't have Jamuna's cookbook. And we had very little, but we had that enthusiasm to please Srila Prabhupada. He felt that that enthusiasm of the disciple to please the spiritual master will be the source of all success. Right now we have so much facility, but what we need is the enthusiasm, the realization of who is Srila Prabhupada and what is our responsibility to him as his disciples, as his grand disciples, and as his grand disciples. The most important thing is that Prabhupada has started this movement. He wants us to see it through to perfection. So it's 1971, he's saying, I've given you enough, he said, to be successful. So he said, I'm an old man, I may go at any moment, but you are young and able. when we were all 19, 20-year-old lads. And Prabhupada was saying, so you carry on with this Krishna conscious movement. So sometimes we think, oh, how will we do? Prabhupada is gone. But he felt that we actually had everything necessary. And to be successful, what does successful mean for us? Successful means that we please Srila Prabhupada. Success doesn't necessarily mean that I get my material facilities together and I do a little service. That's all right. Prabhupada wanted that his devotees not have to struggle. But real success means that, you know, when we our gurukuls are turning out first class devotees of the Lord, when all of Prabhupada's books are published in every language of the world, and that, you know, every house on the planet has one of Prabhupada's books, that a percentage of the world is devotees, that we implement Varnashram Dharma, that our farm communities become self-sufficient, and that our devotees become pure devotees of the Lord. So we have quite a challenge ahead of us, and this is our real business. So, you know, we should, in other words, it's a high goal, but that is our responsibility as having inherited Prabhupada's mission. He wanted that, and he agreed to accept us as his disciples if we cooperated with him to spread this movement. And similarly, grand disciples have the same responsibility. As I mentioned the other day, I'll repeat the point because it's a relevant point, that Vedic culture means that if you the father must pay all his debts before he leaves, because the son inherits the debts of the father. He inherits the riches, but he also inherits the debts. So we've inherited this richness of Krishna consciousness, this tradition, this way of life. But we have a debt to Srila Prabhupada, and that is not a small debt. And his programs are our programs. We want to be just like Srila Prabhupada. He is the shining example of perfection in Krishna consciousness. And although we can never actually be like Srila Prabhupada, we can assist him in our small way to make these programs successful. So each of us, by Lord Krishna's grace, we're participating in one of those many variegated programs that Prabhupada has given. Some devotees are working towards self-sufficiency. Some devotees are meditating on Vanashram. Some of our devotees are working in Gurukul. Some of our devotees are distributing. So we should take that service as our life and soul, not simply as a means of sustenance. Not that we should live off the Guru, but we should give to the Guru. That is the point. The point of maturity comes, advancement. A mature disciple, the type of disciples that we want, are not just the disciples who take, but disciples who give to the, who assist the spiritual master. Just like a young child, it's to be understood that for some time he's taking, just like little Raghunath, you know, was taking a lot of attention. When you jump around the kirtan, you got to watch out, you don't squish him. And, you know, we're giving him a lot of attention. Mother's feeding and father's working and it's going on. That's all right. He's young. But someday we expect Raghunath to lead the kirtan, to give the Bhagavatam class, to make devotees. That's the goal. Baba's working in the school for what, just to have a job? Just to pass time? No, because in his heart he wants to see that these kids become Vaishnavas, and he's taxing his brain, just like someone's taxing his brain how to run this community. I can tell you who it is. Bhrigupati Prabhu. I've been with him the last few days. He's, you know, constantly meditating. He's in anxiety. He's in bliss. He's going through all these different motions. Got a few gray hairs coming. And Baba's thinking, you know, taxing his brain about the kids and Sadhu is, you know, worrying about the broccoli and self-sufficiency and getting the farm together. And I don't want to miss anybody. The pujaris want to make sure that Krishna is nicely taken care of. So this is Krishna consciousness. And this, again, we're not meant to make a living off of Krishna, but we're meant to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. So mature means that we come to the point of actually contributing in our way, whatever way we have, we want to contribute to this Krishna consciousness movement. Just like when the boy grows up, it's to be understood that it takes over the business of the father. So... It's not difficult to understand what Srila Prabhupada wanted He made it very clear. So we often hear, let's make Prabhupada the center, and let's become more Prabhupada conscious. So what does that mean? That means that we try to satisfy Srila Prabhupada's desires. So throughout the year, we have our very variegated programs that Prabhupada has given us. But I can tell you quite frankly that when Prabhupada was here and the marathon came, this was one common way which everyone came together and pleased Srila Prabhupada. We have our simultaneously one and different. One and different. We have our different programs, which are Krishna consciousness, unity and diversity. And we have our one programs, which, you know, we all participate in, beginning with the morning program. The oneness is Mangal Artik. The oneness is chanting japa together. The oneness is coming together to glorify His divine grace. The oneness is that we come to Bhagavatam class. And a oneness which we all are very aware of is prasadam. Everyone comes together for prasadam. So these are one, and then it becomes different. Different means we split up and we go out and we farm and we teach and we cook and we dress the deities and we administrate and we organize and etc. That's the difference. And then again, the oneness, it comes together. So there's no contradiction. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, achinta beta beta tattva, simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different. So the karmis could never understand a formula that something can be harmonious while being one and different at the same time. But that is all contradictions are reconciled in Krishna consciousness, inconceivably. So this marathon also is a means which the community can come together. Oneness, just like we would not think of not coming to the morning program. It wouldn't even cross the mind of a devotee not to come to the morning program. I have to come to the morning program because I have my responsibilities to me, but I also have my responsibilities to the community. I have my own, but if I'm not an active member in the community, both spiritually and quote-unquote materially, everything's spiritual, of course, but different responsibilities, then actually that's not good. So we must be responsible now where the oneness, it maintains the unity and the enthusiasm, because these programs mean that we can associate together, and our enthusiasm is a result of our association. If you went out in the field and you had your own Mangal Artik and you had your own japa and you had your own Guru Puja and you had your own Bhagavatam class, believe me, it would be austere. But the fact that we do it together, that association is what makes it relishable. And the more that we have this, we're the oneness is there. And then we become spiritually strong, and then our different programs become, they feed off of each other. The oneness and the difference is working to help each other. We cannot have one without the other. So when we, when these oneness programs, they're essential for the spiritual health of the community, the enthusiasm of the community. Prabhupada said, you can tell the enthusiasm, you can tell the Krishna consciousness of the community by the kirtans. How everyone is enlivened when they're chanting Hare Krishna, chanting and dancing. So this marathon is it's an axiomatic fact in ISKCON. It's an axiomatic fact. It's ISKCON. It's not something that we really choose to do or don't do. And I'm not saying that it necessarily means you go out, but you back up and you do your essential, but everyone's giving their blessings to everyone else. The spirit is the sacrifice for the oneness to make the community better. So that when I say everyone goes out in the marathon, I mean that means you do your backup, but that means you do your essential. It's all important. But everyone has to be in that mood of the marathon. And that it's an axiomatic fact. Don't think that it's a question of choice. It's not a question of choice that we come to Mangal Artik. It'll never be. And how will we know it'll never be a question of choice? Because Krishna's pure devotee established it. That's why it's not a question of choice. It's not that sometimes things may be a little vague and we have to work them out, and our governing board commissions or our regional councils or our temple councils, the Vaishnava Sangha, the mercy of Krishna becomes evident in the assembly of the Vaishnavas. Even their individual deficiencies are made up by the fact that they're trying to cooperate together to please Srila Prabhupada. So there's nothing vague about this, the Christmas marathon. When Prabhupada was here, it was full on. It's history. It may not be a history every day, a history every month, but it's history for December. And all over the world, that's ISKCON. ISKCON means Jagannath, Subhadra, Baladev. ISKCON means Gornitai. ISKCON means Prabhupada's Vyasasan in the temple room. ISKCON means Guru Puja in the morning. ISKCON means dhotis. ISKCON means saris. These things will never change. And when someone tries to change them, it creates chaos. When instead of wearing dhotis and saris, we wear traditional Christian monk clothes, as was once introduced, it creates chaos in our society. When we change the standard of deity worship due to speculation, we give displeasure to Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada said, don't change any of this. Just keep it the same. When something's introduced or something's taken away from ISKCON, then that creates chaos. So our point is, Prabhupada said, if you cannot expand, please maintain what I have given. Maintain this Krishna conscious movement. So maintenance means the standard programs which the pure devotee of Krishna has given, which are definitely Lord Krishna's desire. These are not, you know, it's not vague. It's very clear. Forever and ever, well, at least for the next 10,000 years, no one can stand up and say, I'm not so sure about this Mangal Arati. I'm not so sure about this morning. I'm not so sure it's important to distribute Prabhupada's, but it's not so important to be self-sufficient. No one can have the audacity to say such a thing. Because right there in Prabhupada's books, it's very, very clear. So, another program, it's very clear. Christmas marathon, Prabhupada was here. He said, these results of these marathons are giving me life. Of course, in those days, there was main emphasis on book distribution. But just don't think that paraphernalia distribution is not Sankirtan. Because the proceeds which are collected from that go to essential services in ISKCON to maintain our society, our deity worship. How could we decrease the standard of our beloved Shishi Radha Giridhari? How could we not build Bhakti Bhavan? These are all essential for the Krishna conscious culture to rise. So don't think for a minute that this paraphernalia is anything like Maya. It's the same principle. So this spreading of Krishna consciousness is what gave life to Srila Prabhupada. And it's not that Prabhupada is gone. He's present there. His desires are there. And he's approachable by taking up this challenge of going out on the marathon. Really, it's not vague. It's very clear. It's an established program. So that's what I was trying to do the other morning, is make Prabhupada's desires quite evident, reminding the devotees that this is what Prabhupada wanted. So, Prabhupada, many times when I travel, sometimes devotees say, oh, you were so fortunate. You got to be with Prabhupada and you got Prabhupada's mercy. But as far as I'm concerned, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's mercy is available through Srila Prabhupada. Gorkhashor Das Babaji's pastimes didn't close and finish. No, they're all these great devotees are the transparent link back to Krishna. And if one is situated properly in disciplic succession, he's getting the blessings of all these devotees. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living still and sound. A Vaishnav, he dies to live. And while living, tries to spread the holy name around. So there's no such thing as death for the soul. So there's no such thing as, obviously, death. The relationship with the spiritual master is completely transcendental. So if we link up to the proper process of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said that means to approach the current link, then similarly, we get the opportunity to approach Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Gorkhashor Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Jagannath Das Babaji, Narottam Das Gaur, Krishna Das Kaviraj. These persons are transcendental personalities and we can receive their blessings. So, but we have to know the technique. So the technique is to satisfy their desires. So you have to know how to do that, just like if we've got all the electricity going on here. But to get that electricity, you have to know the means of getting it. You have to plug that plug into the socket. And the electricity is there, but you have to know the art of plugging into the socket. Radio waves are everywhere. But you have to have a receiver to hear the music or get the news. So in the same way, if we want to get Krishna's mercy, if we want to get the spiritual master's mercy, the socket or the receiver is the instruction. You can tune in. So the more that we can tune in to satisfying our spiritual master's desire, then the safer we are. Just like when I was in India, this thing was going on in the Middle East. I guess it's still going on, but anyway. So I wanted to hear some of the news. So the BBC broadcast from England all over the world. So, you know, I was trying to tune in and hear the BBC, but it was quite difficult because there was many other different stations around. So, you know. But the finer I tuned in, the finer, the more refined it, closer, and then there it was, loud and clear. So there's all different types of things being broadcast over the airwaves. And I wasn't interested in hearing them. Radio Moscow and some Indian cinema music, and it was all kinds of distortion. I wanted to go right. So there's all types of distortion in this world in the form of Maya, and she's always causing disturbance in the mind. So, but if we can tune in to Krishna through the receiver of the spiritual master, through the Guru Parampara, and the message, then the message comes loud and clear. But we have to refine our Krishna consciousness, and then we won't be disturbed by that crackling sound of Maya, the mind always agitating. Refine. So how to do it? Become more serious and serious and serious about following these instructions. And as Prabhupada said one time, there's three types of students. I think maybe four types of students. The fourth class student is the one who gets the instruction and just forget it. He's to be considered no better than the stool of the father. And the third class, he gets the instruction and he carries it out begrudgingly. All right, okay, so I'll do that. And the second class one is, Guru is giving instruction. Yes, sir, let me do it. Even if there's some reservation, he puts that to the side. Having faith, yasya devi para bhaktir, that I have faith that my spiritual master is right, so I will do. Second class, what's first class? First class means he anticipates the instruction, and without even being asked, he goes out and does it. So, you know, we're trying to come to the first class platform because we're getting the instruction, and we're carrying out it willingly, but you know, we should be anticipating these opportunities to do the Christmas marathon. Actually, it shouldn't have to be that, you know, a sannyasi has to come through and, all right, the marathon, he should come here and just be overwhelmed. Wow, look at this place. It's busy as a beehive with everybody getting ready for the marathon. That's actually first class. It's very nice, everyone's responding. But first class is that marathon's coming and people are banging on the temple president's door. Rigupati, you know, get me out of here somehow, you know. I mean, I've got this essential service and I just, you know, I want it to go on because it's, but, you know, help me, Bhrigupati, help! You know, I want to go out. I want to get out there and this is the oneness. My service is so important on this farm, but I'm concerned with the community spirit. I'm concerned with the overall benefit that this marathon is going to give the community. So I want you to see that my service goes on. You know, you find somebody else to back. I want to go out. Or if not, you know, I'm going to do the essential, but please can I do an extra RT? But whatever we can do to do a little bit more to help the marathon, and we should do it. And we should just, you know, just his, he should be just his door, you know, boom, 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 boom. How can I help? What can I do? What do you want me? What do you... That's the first class. So we can invoke Srila Prabhupada's mercy by serving his desires in this way, and this is a established desire. So, you know, if you're doing essential, thank you. If you're doing a backup, thank you. And if you're going out, thank you. But I hope everyone's increasing the essential, increasing the backup, increasing your participation as you go out. And if we do this, it'll be like the good old days. I'll tell you what the difference is, the good old days, is that everybody was, the desire was very strong. Of course, because of Prabhupada's association, but we should be mature enough to understand Prabhupada is present in his Vani. He's present in his Vani. And he can be manifest in that way. I remember when I was a kid, we used to have these you'd buy a candy bar or something, and then there'd be a little thing on the back, and you'd rub a stick on it, and then the picture would come. Remember that? You'd have a little thing, and then it was fun, you know, because you didn't know what the picture was, so all you had to do was take something and say, no, I like this. Oh, look, it's a cat, it's a dog, it's a fish and giraffe, something. So the same principle is there. Prabhupada's mercy is there, and we can make it manifest. It's like you push down on the paper. So you can, Prabhupada's mercy will come forth if we push ourselves a little more in Krishna consciousness. And this, the success of this marathon is actually based on desire, the consciousness of the temple. Just like the mother and father, their consciousness at the moment of conception determines the birth of the child. So in the same way, the consciousness of the devotees within the community determines the results of what will happen. What we'll give birth to. Will we give birth, just like when the demons and the demigods, Churnzios, and so many things came out. So what will our desire give birth to in this marathon? Will it give birth to $100? Or will it give birth to $300,000? Will it give birth to a windmill for the farm boys? Will it give birth to a new outfit for the deities? Will it give birth to what else you want? Will it give birth to paying off the debts? Will it give birth to an opportunity to distribute some books after the marathon? Will it give birth to an extension on this side? Well, so many things. So we want to see Krishna consciousness expanding, so we have to work. The consciousness of the temple will determine the results like that. So if the consciousness is very strong to please Prabhupada, then Prabhupada likes to see the movement expanding. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said, the results of these marathons are giving me life. What was the results? Because he knew his books were going out. He knew so much money was going into the BBT. He knew because of those marathons he could build Vrindavan, he could build Mayapur, he could build Bombay, he could print more books. He could get his gurukul going. We have to be practical. If we're going to realize these projects, we have to work really hard. And this was Prabhupada's mood. Now, work now, samadhi later. First deserve, then desire. So, I guess this is the message this evening, that we should desire very strongly to see the community expand. Everybody wants to see in his own practical way his own service expand. But it will expand by a cooperated effort to please this very this Christmas marathon, which is part of ISKCON's history. So, Hare Krishna. I wanted to read one little history from this book. Distribute books. Of a challenge which Śrīla Prabhupāda gave to his disciples, which they didn't think they could do. But upon taking up that challenge, they realized how fortunate it was that Prabhupāda was asking them to increase their devotional service. And that was the printing of the Chaitanya Charitamritas. It's not too long a story, but the basic history is, before we begin, that Prabhupada was not pleased that only one volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita was coming out every 3 months. He wanted these books to be printed much quicker than that. He felt his disciples were not active enough. So his desire was made apparent to the devotees, and they took up the challenge, and there were so many wonderful results because of that. So if we can just be a few more minutes, it's about 4 pages, but it's a good note to begin the marathon on Atma Nivedana. June 20th, 1975, Prabhupada arrived in Los Angeles, where he received a joyous welcome home. He was accompanied by leading sannyasis, GVC secretaries, including Kirtananda Swami, Vishnu Jan Swami, Brahmananda Swami, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and others. Sitting in his room, one of his favorites in the world, he spoke only briefly about the backlog of unprinted books. He seemed mildly disturbed, but said little. He was, however, pleased to see the temple and the deities of Rukmini Dwarkadish. In Srila Prabhupada's short arrival speech, he significantly explained why he was so urgent in pressing his disciples to produce books. "I have no personal qualification," Prabhupada said, sitting and leaning forward on the plush, upholstered red Vyasasan, "but I am simply trying to satisfy my guru, that's all. My guru Maharaj asked me like that, if you get money, you print some books." So there was a private meeting, talking. Some of my important godbrothers were also there. It was in Radhakund. So Guru Maharaj was speaking to me like that. "Since we have got this Bagh Bazar marble temple, there's been so much dissension, and everyone is thinking, who will occupy this room or who will occupy that room? I wish, therefore, to sell this temple and the marble and just print some books." "Yes," so I took this up from his mouth, that he is very fond of books, and he told me personally, "If you get money, print books. Therefore, I am stressing this point. Where is book? Where is book? Kindly help me. That is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute them all over the world. Then Krishna conscious movement will automatically increase." You've seen the video? The next morning, however, while walking on Venice Beach, Prabhupada delivered an extraordinary ultimatum. Surrounded by devotees, he walked along, poking the sand softly with his cane. "These 17 volumes, unpublished," he began, "are a great problem for our movement." "Yes, Prabhupada," Rameshwara responded, attentive and concerned. The other devotees also nodded, agreeing with the mood of their spiritual master. "Something must be done." "Yes," Prabhupada continued, "they must be published immediately." "Yes, Prabhupada," Rameshwara replied immediately. "So I think they can be printed in 8 weeks," Prabhupada said conclusively. Rameshwara wasn't sure he'd heard right. Besides, it was illogical. The press had only just opened. The artists didn't even have lights in their room. Now seemed the right moment to tell Prabhupada their plan for more efficient production. Rameshwara stepped forward. "Srila Prabhupada," he began, "we've been meeting about this. And now that the press is finally here and installed, I think we can increase production 4 times. We think that now we can go from producing one book every 4 months to producing one of your books every month." Now both Rameshwara and Radha Ballabha were walking together beside Srila Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Brahmananda Swami walked on the other side. "One book every month," Prabhupada said, as if thinking out loud and considering it. "That means over 1 year. It is not fast enough." This is Prabhupada's mood, pushing us. The other leaders started looking over at Rameshwara and Radha Ballabha, who glanced at each other. "You have to do all the books in 8 weeks," Prabhupada said. Rameshwara heard it clearly this time. Prabhupada was serious. Rameshwara and Radha Ballabha stood in disbelief. "Prabhupada," Rameshwara said, "I think it's impossible. Maybe we can go a little faster." Prabhupada stopped walking, planting his cane firmly in the sand. Without anger, but very gravely, he turned slowly to Rameshwara and said, "Impossible is a word found in a fool's dictionary." Rameshwara suddenly realized that his whole spiritual life was on the line. If he disbelieved now or said it was impossible, it would mean he had no faith in Krishna's representative, no faith in the power of God. He had to throw away his material estimations and rational common sense. "Can I do it? Can I go on the marathon? It's so hard, it's so tough. But Prabhupada said he wanted it. Well, let's see if I can get around it." While Rameshwara stood speechless, Srila Prabhupada continued walking, the other devotees hurrying to catch up with him. Rameshwara and Radha Ballabha also caught up, but now the whole mood of the walk shifted. Everyone looked at the BBT managers to say, "Come on, stop doubting, you have to do it." Rameshwara asked Prabhupada if he could discuss it with the other devotees at the press and then meet with Prabhupada. "Oh yes," Prabhupada replied, "whatever is required." Rameshwara and Radha Ballabha then dropped out of the morning walk while Prabhupada and the others continued down the beach. The two devotees questioned each other. "Do you think it's even remotely possible?" Rameshwara asked. "What do you think?" Radha Ballabha replied. Let's go back and have a meeting and see what we can do. Prabhupada returned to the temple and toured the new press facilities, two buildings, a graphic arts building, an editorial building. Walking on the second floor outside a walkway, Prabhupada looked down and noticed a 2-foot strip of bare earth running between the buildings. Annoyed, Prabhupada said they should plant grass there, not waste space. In the layout room, a transparency of Baby Krishna carrying Nanda Maharaj's shoes was on the light table. Prabhupada began laughing when he saw it. He also saw the new typesetting equipment, which worked 50 times faster than the previous equipment. Devotees demonstrated it for Prabhupada as he remarked that in India he had dreamed of having a press like this. In Radha Ballabha's office, Śrīdhara Prabhupada sat at the manager's chair and looked up at the large bulletin board that showed all the steps in the production of a book. Prabhupada laughed and said, "For someone like me, this makes it even more complicated." Some small children had squeezed into the office, and Prabhupada patted them on the head. "Oh, you're not in Gurukul?" The boy replied, "No," and another devotee said, "His father took him out. He doesn't want him to go to Gurukul." Prabhupada said, "Oh, are you your father's son, or are you my son?" The boy, about 5 years old, did not say anything. Prabhupada, rubbing on the head and on the back at the same time, repeated, "Are you your father's son, or are you my son?" The boy looked up and said, "I'm yours, Prabhupada." All the devotees cheered, and Prabhupada laughed. Śrīdhara Prabhupada saw all the equipment and walked into every room of the two buildings. All this modern technology was fine, he concluded, as long as it could be used to meet the deadline of 17 books in 8 weeks. Otherwise, their equipment was like the technology of the scientists who tried uselessly to go to the moon. All through the morning program in the temple, Rameshwar and Radha Ballabha tried to control their minds, but all they could think of was how to arrange for the production of 17 volumes in 2 months. By the time they met with the press workers, Rameshwar and Radha Ballabha had become convinced it could be done. If it was as if some mystical power was going to descend. Somehow or other it could be done, so they presented the plan and convinced the other workers. "It can be done," Rameshwar said later, talking with Prabhupada. Prabhupada replied. But Rameshwar said there were some conditions. For the Bengali editing to go smoothly, the editors would have to be able to regularly consult Prabhupada. He replied that he was prepared to stay in Los Angeles as long as it took, and that he would make time to see the editors. All of them as they surrender, I reward them accordingly. The next condition was that the painters would work as quickly as humanly possible, but that the paintings might not be of the best quality. Prabhupada said that he understood. A blind uncle is better than none. He said they should put the book in whatever paintings they could get, and if necessary, new paintings would replace the old ones in future editions. Another condition was that the artist would also have many questions about how to illustrate Chaitanya Leela, and Prabhupada agreed to make time for answering their questions. He also agreed to allow the use of photographs of holy places in India connected with Chaitanya Leela to supplement the paintings. With Śrīdhara Prabhupada's agreeing to stay and make more time for queries, Rameshwara and Radha Ballabha felt they had a chance. They left Prabhupada's room running down the stairs. The race was on. Śrīdhara Prabhupada ki. Right. Work in all departments went on 24 hours daily. This is Vaikuntha. Most workers attended Mangal Arati at 4:30 a.m., but after that they worked all day, taking only one meal and staying up late at night, chanting their prescribed rounds of japa whenever possible. This is marathon. And we did it when Prabhupada was here. It was as if nothing else existed except the task before them. Additional editors, painters, photographers, indexers, typists, proofreaders, and layout men were needed aside from those gathered in L.A., and calls to all the other parts of ISKCON brought immediate response as devotees flew in from everywhere to join the regular press crew. The commercial printers also cooperated. Although astounded at the demand, they wanted the business. Kingsport Press in Tennessee, one of America's largest, took the job agreeing to push back all other assignments and free their presses and bindery to work around the clock. The pure devotee gets everyone engaged. For a month or two, they would do just Bhaktivedanta books. A paper company in New York agreed to supply the paper on credit and time to meet all the deadlines. Bhagavadas, a BBT photographer, immediately flew off to India to photograph the places of Chaitanya Leela, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Aside from physical and mental strain, some of the main difficulties were for the editors and artists to cope with the manager's practice of taking work out of their hands before they had finished. an artist would fall asleep around midnight in front of an unfinished painting, and it would be taken to another artist to finish. We have any artists here? This is a very sensitive subject. You know? Imagine you're giving a class and someone says, I step over, I'm going to finish your class. You know? Radha Ballabha had arranged the deadline and kept it at all costs. Proofreaders saw manuscripts come in and out of their hands so fast they could hardly bear it. It was not unusual to see devotees asleep over their desks or typewriters or lying beside their canvases at 2 or 3 in the morning. Jayadwaita, the main BBT editor, was assigned half of the manuscript and Hayagriva the other half. Although accustomed to regularly editing Srila Prabhupada's books, Jayadwaita had never worked on so much at once with so little. He regretted that although Srila Prabhupada was there in Los Angeles where others got to see him, the press workers had to stay in their offices and constantly work. It means you can do a marathon even if Prabhupada's not there. But he also found it very ecstatic. He liked the feeling of increased life in the press. It was the feeling that everyone had to give all their energy for Srila Prabhupada. There was a special happiness in working for their spiritual master all day long. Radha Ballabha was especially active going from one department to another. He would come to Jayadwaita's room at 2 a.m., wake him, and hand him 20 pages to edit. Jayadwaita would throw some water in his face and start his work. Although the press devotees rarely saw Srila Prabhupada while he was in L.A., they felt a very special connection with him. They were carrying... staff to turn out the Spanish Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada had previously expressed displeasure that this book was taking too long to produce, so when the American BBT flung themselves into a marathon, the Spanish BBT began their own marathon to finish the Bhagavad Gita. Like others, Sita worked until 1 or 2 in the morning, then chanted her japa and attended Mangal Arati, although she could hardly keep her eyes open. Then she would take a few hours rest, take some breakfast, the one meal of the day, and then go back to work until 1 or 2 the next morning. By associating with devotees working on Chaitanya Charitamrita, she got to hear nectarine new stories about Lord Chaitanya. As the days and nights passed, Sita felt exhausted but very happy. Although she had never associated intimately with Srila Prabhupada, she now felt privileged by her connection with him through her service of the BBT. A few press devotees were sometimes allowed to attend Prabhupada's darshan in the garden. Sita went one evening. Srila Prabhupada wasn't talking about book production, but she felt he was thanking them for sacrificing a little for the sake of his mission. Although the press workers missed different events, like the play the devotees performed for Prabhupada, Sita didn't really feel she was missing anything because the service was so satisfying. When she felt particularly strange, she would talk with other devotees and they would encourage her. Yamaraj, the chief layout man, pasted up the galleys of the texts and scaled the photos for final production. He also had worked on Prabhupada's books for years and was happy that his sometimes routine work had now become an exciting challenge. Prabhupada was testing the press devotees to see how much they wanted to serve Krishna, and Yamaraj was glad to see everyone so enthusiastically responding. No one complained, and no one felt exploited. They worked willingly because they understood how important the books were. They were learning how potent Srila Prabhupada's instruction was, and by executing that instruction, they gained enthusiasm and deeper realizations. Yamaraj would rest a few hours, get up, work all day, rest again, etc. He knew that although the goal was almost impossible, it was a chance to please Prabhupada. The working conditions were nice. Pressure was there, but few distractions. No one bothered him in idle talk, so he would just keep working. Muralidhar was one of the main artists. In his mid-20s, he had been studying art his whole life. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, he had quit art for meditation. Now he found he could do both at the same time. Prabhupada, after seeing a drawing Muralidhar had done of Radha and Krishna, had personally requested him to paint. Muralidhar found the marathon difficult because he was a perfectionist in his work, and accepting a lesser standard was very hard. But the paintings had to be done quickly, and he also had to help newer artists who had come to join him. Krishna was testing him, he felt. When other artists had their work taken away from them for failing to meet a deadline, Muralidhar would finish their work. For the other artists, this was a great strain and surrender of ego. Muralidhar also felt strained as he had to mix his style of painting with others. Each artist was forced to consider his painting not as personal product, but as a product of a cooperative effort. Muralidhar considered that since his spiritual master needed a certain amount of paintings, the disciples simply had to produce them, and that was it. None of the BBT artists were able to indulge in the luxury of thinking, this is my particular style that I will offer to Krishna. Muralidhar took it as a special time. At first, Muralidhar had thought of the marathon as ridiculous. How could the devotees give up their regulated activity? There were more important things to do. He was thinking already that the reason the press had fallen behind in production was because too many devotees had neglected their regulated life, especially the chanting of their rounds. So he resolved to chant japa strictly, even while handling the deadline pressure. On one occasion, Muralidhar was asked to bring one of his paintings to Prabhupada. The painting was of Sakshi Gopal, the deity of Krishna who had walked for thousands of miles to please his devotees. Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna's head was too big and his hair was too long. Muralidhar went back and corrected it. In the course of that exchange, Muralidhar felt a very profound and close relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Gauri Devi Dasi Kijai, she's now departed, was a book distributor convalescing after an operation for cancer. Since she was artistic, she was drafted to paint pictures during the press marathon. Although it seemed to her an impossible task, she understood that it must be done somehow. As she worked, she felt Srila Prabhupada's presence, as if he might just walk in at any moment and see her work, just as he had actually done when he toured the press. In his room, Prabhupada would look at the preliminary sketches of each painting and approve them, and so Gauri felt an increased sense of working to please him. She wasn't considered one of the best artists, and her painting of the Gundisha temple seemed amateurish to some of the senior artists. But when Rameshwara, accompanied by a couple of artists, showed the painting to Prabhupada, the verdict of Prabhupada was, oh, this is very nice. And when the artist pointed out the many technical errors in the painting, Prabhupada again replied, a blind uncle is better than none. Gauri had never before been so absorbed in her work. She now painted 18 hours a day, completely absorbed and involved in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. This is the passing away of Haridas Thakur. Prabhupada appreciated the devotee's qualities in the paintings, Gauri realized, and she tried to work in that spirit. She kept her brushes and paints clean, thinking, I'm dealing with Krishna, and praying that Krishna would kindly manifest himself on her canvas. To the press workers, Radha Ballabha seemed to be the omnipresent person. He slept little and worked hard, encouraging the workers, bringing them whatever they needed. He begged and coerced them to complete their goals. One afternoon, he took a break and dropped by Prabhupada's room while Srila Prabhupada was sitting with a group of devotees, listening to a tape of himself singing bhajans, accompanied by harmonium, drum, and kartals. Srila Prabhupada sat with closed eyes, shaking his head in meditative ecstasy. Suddenly, Srila Prabhupada opened his eyes and saw Radha Ballabha there. I'm keeping you, Prabhupada said, and again closed his eyes and listened to the music. One of the devotees spoke up and said, oh, no, 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 Prabhupada, you're not bothering us. But another devotee turned to Radha Ballabha and said, I think Prabhupada was talking to you. Suddenly, Radha Ballabha realized what Prabhupada was doing. Prabhupada knew they were trying to do the books under a very tight deadline, and he was telling Radha Ballabha to get back to work. By Prabhupada's subtle remark, Radha Ballabha took it that Prabhupada was actually saying, what are you doing sitting here looking at me? Get back to work. Service and separation. The marathon not only tested the endurance, but the sincerity of the disciples. From this challenge, they could clearly see that the business of the disciple is not to find excuses for the spiritual master to explain why his order cannot be carried out, but to take that order so seriously that the disciple does not consider the possibility of not doing it, or of changing or modifying the spiritual master's instruction. When the spiritual master gives an order, the disciple does not modify the order. He modifies his life. He modifies his consciousness to carry out that order. The general human tendency is that when the spiritual master gives an order, that in some way disrupts our way of thinking and acting, we try to find out how to modify the order, or arrive at a modified understanding of the order, so that we don't have to do exactly what the spiritual master says. But the real business of the disciple is to make whatever adjustments are necessary to do what the spiritual master wants. Disciples shouldn't hold back or look for excuses. And when he surrenders in this way, satisfaction is guaranteed. Although Srila Prabhupada did not stay in Los Angeles for the entire month of June, the marathon continued, and soon the first books began returning from the printers. Advanced copies of 5 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita arrived. When Rameshwar and Radha Ballabha drove to the airport at 2 a.m. to pick them up, they stood at the air freight counter, half asleep. They received the books, rushed back to the temple, and arrived just in time to place the books on the altar to offer the deities at the Mongol Arctic. None of the other devotees knew the books had arrived. And when the deity doors opened, 300 devotees were thrilled to behold the 5 new volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita with gold-colored covers adorning the altars. The miracle was taking place. This is my point again. The desire of the devotees gave birth to this miracle of Krishna consciousness. So the desire of the community can give birth to some very wonderful results for Srila Prabhupada in our upcoming marathon. Seeing the books and taking part in the kirtan before the deities, many devotees shed ecstatic tears. The Arctic was filled with intense spiritual emotion. Although many press devotees had come to the Mongol Arctic exhausted, they all began dancing and chanting with spontaneous enthusiasm, especially while singing again and again and again the mantra to Srila Prabhupada, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine. Our obeisances are unto you, O spiritual master, servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. You are so kindly teaching the message of Lord Chaitanya and delivering these Western countries, which are full of voidism and impersonalism. Again and again they chanted this mantra to Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya, in the form of Chaitanya Charitamrita, was ready to flood the Western world, and the press devotees felt proud to be able to serve as Srila Prabhupada's assistants. It was a sweet realization for a devotee to know that he was actually assisting the mission of Lord Chaitanya to flood the world with love of God. After Mongol Arctic, devotees crowded around to see the books. Jayadwaita looked through each book with a professional eye, judging the color printing, the binding quality of the prints. He knew they had made compromises they wouldn't have made under ordinary conditions. Yet even from a professional point of view, he thought the books were exceptional. There were probably presses that had done a larger volume, but for the small group of amateurs, the feat was nothing short of miraculous. Muralidhar looked at the paintings with mixed feelings of ecstasy and satisfaction. In fact, he was never satisfied with any of his paintings. Everything could be done better, but it was done. The authorized Chaitanya Charitamrita was coming out, and basically, everything was all right. At the end of 2 months, the BBT fulfilled their promise to Prabhupada and sent the 17th and last volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita off to the printer. On August 21st, on the occasion of Lord Balaram's appearance day, they wired Srila Prabhupada in Delhi. The telegram read, quote, "By the mercy of Lord Balaram Nityananda, the last volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita is leaving today for the printer. By your mercy and divine order, it is done." Unquote. On August 31st, the devotees received the final volumes of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The 17-volume set was now complete. A devotee was dispatched to India with a full set of Chaitanya Charitamritas to present to Srila Prabhupada. On September 1st, the books reached Prabhupada at the Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan. Upon seeing the books, Srila Prabhupada was as excited as his young devotees in Los Angeles had been. He looked through them page by page, picture by picture. As he took each book, he would place it to his head, honoring it as worshipable. On the same day, he wrote a letter. "My dear Rameshwara and company, please accept my blessings. I am in due receipt of your letter dated August 31st, 1975, and the 6 new volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, the books have increased, and they're all very nicely done. I think I may stop touring all over and just sit down now for translating. You have taken seriously the publishing and also the distribution of these books, and that is the success of our mission. You have taken seriously this work, and I know that my Guru Maharaj is pleased with you because he wanted this. So by your endeavor, you will all go back home, back to Godhead." This is the key. that just surrendered to one of Prabhupada's instructions 100%. And he said, okay, because of your endeavor, you're all going back to Godhead. Let me first of all finish Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can take up others. So I wish to also thank you for your cooperation. Because of your cooperation, therefore, it has been possible. For me to publish alone the first three volumes, I had to take so much trouble. But by the cooperation of you American boys and girls, now this has become possible. You promised on Vyas Puja Day, and it has come. Although Nitai has come a little late, just after our ceremony. Anyway, what you have done is good. Nitai has said he has brought the advanced verses for 7th canto, and this will help me. Nitai was to come on the 20th, but he has come with the substance, so I am very much pleased. The pictures are all wonderful. The artist teased me with so many questions about this and that, but they have done nicely, so it is all right. So you all go on with your work, and I will pray to Krishna for your ever advancement in his service. I hope this meets you all in good health, your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sridhar Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, as I began this evening, I said that Prabhupada's mercy is as much present now as it was then, as it will be in the future. So, we can again capture this mood and capture the mercy of Srila Prabhupada by surrendering 100% to his instructions, to attend morning program, to do our service during the day, and this time of the year, Prabhupada wants the marathon, so everyone can participate in their way, maintaining what you're doing, doing backup, or going out and preaching Krishna consciousness, and surely the same mood can be there, because Prabhupada's few years with us were setting the standard for ISKCON for the 10,000 years. That's why we need the pure devotee to come to this world, because he sets the standard, but not that it becomes archaic, it becomes old-fashioned. It's eternal. Prabhupada's instructions, Prabhupada's example, they're eternal examples. So what happened then is also meant to happen now. So there's no such thing as the good old days or this. It's just eternal devotional service. So we shouldn't feel that we can't capture that same mood, and I think that that's what we should do with this marathon that's coming up. We should all participate, and then we can feel Prabhupada's presence, just as they felt Prabhupada's presence so intensely when he was present. Even he was present, many of those devotees didn't get to see Prabhupada. In fact, I'll just finish this evening with one little realization of Tripurari. Another morning, Tripurari got a chance to go to the morning walk. On that particular morning, Prabhupada was very quiet, walking up and down the beach. Only when it was time to return, and Prabhupada was walking toward his car, did one of the devotees say, "Prabhupada, Tripurari is here." Prabhupada turned to Tripurari and smiled. "Ah, how is the book distribution going?" he asked. It was the first time he'd ever spoken to Tripurari. Tripurari loved Sankirtan, and he loved Srila Prabhupada, and he wanted to say many things at once, but he couldn't speak properly. In nervous enthusiasm, he began blurting out his realizations. Prabhupada interrupted him. "This is the best service for humanity, the Sankirtan," Prabhupada said. And he quoted from Bhagavad Gita, "There will never be a devotee more dear to me than he who preaches my message." Aside from Rameshwar and Tripurari's brief encounters with Prabhupada, none of the other book distributors in Los Angeles had any personal exchanges or meetings with their spiritual master. But the closeness of their relationship with him was not dependent on personal exchange or physical proximity. The scriptures stress that serving the spiritual master's instruction is the important thing. The spiritual master is not always physically with the disciple, but he remains always with the disciples in the form of his instructions. The book distributors had heard many times from Prabhupada's lectures, books, and conversations that book distribution was the prime order he'd received from his spiritual master. Therefore, anyone who helped Srila Prabhupada distribute his books and do Sankirtan was a confidential servant of Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. An intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada was guaranteed to whoever sincerely took up his order. So what is the difference between those devotees who didn't see Prabhupada and us right now? I know God brothers and God sisters who never saw Prabhupada. They received initiation by mail. They never saw. So what is the difference between our situation now and theirs? Be we disciples or grand disciples in the future, grand disciples? I don't think there's any difference. Because serving in separation, they were enthused, so the situation is the same now. We can please Srila Prabhupada, and we can all have his association. Tripurari, My association with Prabhupada was always more or less in separation on the field. While many of the older devotees were personally trained by Prabhupada, I never got that training. I was trained by Prabhupada more from within my heart. I think that's the case with all of our book distributors. They had very intimate sense of feeling for Prabhupada, but they never had, some of them never had personal contact. Their intimacy and real sense of knowing Prabhupada very closely was because of the service which Prabhupada said was his life and soul, Sankirtan. What little association I had, I was to serve as a spokesman for the book distributors. So again, I'm just trying to present Srila Prabhupada's desires, and I hope that it will evoke a sense of commitment that everyone is, I think everyone has taken a nice commitment in the community for the marathon, and I hope that that will evoke responsible commitment, and it will evoke a very strong desire to please our Param Guru, the founder Acharya of our International Society of Krishna Consciousness, this divine great Srila Prabhupada, whose mercy is very much present during these opportunities that we have. So good luck on your marathon. And I told Brico that I'd like to, you know, personally keep contact with all the distributors. I'm going to be in South Africa, but it's as close as a fax from Madhuri's office. So I'd like to hear, you know, I come and try to give some time, so it's nice to see a response, you know. So I hope that there will be a response in the community, and that we can give birth to some very nice results for His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And don't forget the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, which is that bead which I have in my room. I should have brought it, but that bead is there, so don't forget. Are we going to make a challenge to Christchurch or what? Do you want to make a challenge? Just like Prabhupada said, do you want to make a challenge to Christ? You think you can do it? I mean, even if we let them. And we did some speculation yesterday. It was somewhere between 172 and 350,000. But I'm going there tomorrow morning. Shall I bring the letter or what? I've been speaking for an hour and a half. What, does somebody else want to say something? What do you think, Balabhadra Prabhu? She already has her instruction. There's no tape, but she remembers. Tatiksha, did you... Are you were you conscious this evening or unconscious? What do the devotees want? Did the raise your hand if you want Mother Tatiksha to beat Mother Jambavati. Raise your hand. Okay, there you go. Krishna's desires manifest to the devotees. So. Now remember, being neutral, sannyasis are supposed to be neutral. When I go down to Christchurch, I'm going to convince them that they can beat you. So you're not allowed to listen to any tapes from Christchurch. Now, with this spirit of competition is very good. So anyway, think about it. These are very profound points and subjects. It's all dealing with our relationship with Prabhupada and our spiritual master. This should be our meditation. And I'll be looking forward to hearing the results. You can fax me every week in Durban. And I'd like to say thank you very much for your association the last few days. I apologize for not being present at the evening program, but we are working behind the scenes to get the marathon together, and hopefully we can make up for that at chanting and dancing at the festival when I come back in January. And also, because I was in India, I lost a little weight and got a little physically weak, so I couldn't sing so much. But I'm starting to put a little weight on since I came back to New Zealand with all the cream and the pastries and everything. So I'll do my part of, you know, eat a lot of pastries and get in form again. So at the Ratha Yatra, we can, as the kids say, Maharaj, we haven't had a womper stomper yet. So we all have our part to play. So, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati ki, Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva ki, Shri Shri Gauranitai ki, Shri Shri Radha Giridhari ki, New Varshana Dhamma ki, Christmas Marathon 1990 ki, Rathayatra ki, Gaur Premanandi, Hare Hare.